How about you call your reverence for God? Would you call your reverence for God a radical reverence for God? Would just be like, nah, I can take it or leave it. What are you radical for? I was watching the draft. Watching the draft, and they draft them young men. And them young men would say something, and I would just squirm every time I heard it. They would say, this is the greatest day of my life. You know, as a believer, the greatest day of our lives was when God saved us. Amen. Anything, and I know some great things can happen after that, okay? You can be like Jake and have a baby and have a baby on the way. And them was great days, don't get me wrong. It was great days to watch your child being born. This is a great day when your kids graduate from high school or college. Them are great days. Okay? Them great days. Walk down the aisle, get married. Those are great days. Hit the Powerball. No. them be great days. Okay? Them great days. Honestly, great days. But the greatest day of your life as a man or woman of God has to be when God saved you. Amen. When you came into the, amen. When you came into the saving understanding of who God is. Let's read the scripture. I didn't get took off. Matthew 6. Somebody didn't stop me. Somebody said, hey. You ain't prayed yet. You ain't read the scripture yet. You took off. My back hurt. Matthew 6, verse 9 through 13. And we're not leaving 9. Sorry. After this manner, Matthew 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore pray. Ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Father, thank you for the word of God. Yes, Father, sometimes we just praise you casually. We worship you casually. But Father God, we want to be taught how to praise and worship you in a radical way. We talked last week about being radicalized. Father, we want our prayer lives to be radicalized because your word says the effectual, fervent, red hot prayers of the righteous availeth much. Amen. And Father, this world we live in, we need some red hot radical prayers to go up because you said when the praises go up, the right kind of praises, the right kind of worship. When the right kind of praises go up and the right kind of worship is being had, the blessings will come. And Father God, we need a blessing today. Somebody's marriage needs a blessing. Somebody's child needs a blessing. Somebody's home needs a blessing. Somebody in the hospital needs a blessing. Father God, there's so much that we can do when our prayers are effectual and fervent. Father, teach us to pray. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. As I was saying, we talked last week about him being our Father. That's a separation there. Okay? When he says, our Father, who art in heaven, there's separation. Okay? You're saying, I'm in this thing. I know him as my Savior. I call him Abba, Father. I know what he's done in my life. I understand fully and completely John 3:16. I understand John 3:16. I know I've been on a John 3:16 kick, but I'm going to keep on kicking it until you get it. You understand this? If he's your father, you understand, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You understand that if you are his child. Now, if you're not his child, that probably don't mean anything to you. It's just a popular verse in the Bible, probably the most popular verse in the Bible. You probably know it by heart. But really, do you believe it? Do you believe it? So we're going to talk about our worship. That word hallowed means reverent. It means sacred. It means holy. It means consecrated. And God is saying, hallowed be thy name. Now, is his name hallowed to you? When you hear the word of God, when you hear God's name, is it sacred to you? When you think about God, when you think about God and what he's done for you, is it sacred? Is it holy? Listen, Isaiah knew, and we're going to talk about Isaiah a little bit today, but right here in Isaiah 9 and 6, we're going to talk about this name and what it means. Because he said, hallowed be thy name. Holy is thy name. Says this in Isaiah 9 and 6. He said, for unto us. I gotta make sure, I hope you're in the us. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. Let's talk about his name. So we don't reverence names anymore. But here's a name. Here's a name we ought to reverence. We just don't understand names. But here's a name. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Now, if you got a father like that, that's wonderful, that's magnificent, that's amazing, that's just fantastic. That name can't be, that can't apply to any earthly father, even though I know there's some good fathers in this room. But listen, we got a father in heaven, okay? That's wonderful, that's magnificent. That's fantastic. That's simply amazing. How can I say that? Because I know what he's done for me. Amen. I know what he's done for any of us in here that are saved, that know him as Lord and Savior, that have been delivered, that's been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know what he is to you? He's wonderful. Amen. He's amazing. Because it took something amazing to call some of y'all. To get some of y'all to stop doing what you was doing, stop going where you was going, to stop consuming the things you were consuming. It took an amazing God. Amen. It took a fantastic person to do that. Amen. I know that. Amen. I throw y'all out there, but I know what it took for me. I know what it took. It took somebody that was powerful. That's why he said, not only was he wonderful, Bible says he's a wonderful counselor. Okay? Counselor do what? Counsel you. Psalms 1 said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So there are two kind of counselors. See, some of us still walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Be careful what you're telling folks. Be careful what you're talking to folk about. Make sure if you're talking to him as a child of God, as someone who says, I know Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Yes, I know him as my Savior. Be careful what you say to him. Amen. And if you can't say anything biblical to him, don't say nothing. Amen. Just say, I don't have nothing to speak. I can't speak to that. Because you are a counselor. You ought to be wonderful. Somebody ought to say, you know what? You meet somebody that know me, that work with me, that said know me, they ought to say, you know what? I know your pastor, he's wonderful. Yeah. Know why I'm wonderful? Because my Father is wonderful. The man who saved me is wonderful. Therefore, we ought to be wonderful. Folks ought to come in this church and see wonderful folks. And if they need some advice, I love Sharon, and I just watch her talk to our young people, and she's a wonderful counselor. I don't think she in there giving them ungodly counseling. Talk to them about the things of God. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You need the Lord. Okay, this world is going to try to do three things: kill, steal, and destroy you.
That's right.
So when we counseling somebody, when we talking to somebody, even the little babies, we need to watch what we say to them. Because they're watching you. You're a Christian? You're up here ushering at the door. That means you're a Christian. Amen. They used you singing in the choir. That means you're a Christian. And they might not know. And you may be the only Bible they ever read.
Right.
Well, mommy, you singing in the choir, but why you... Daddy, will you...
You got it.
Pastor... I had one of my boys tell me today, you know, I said, what's that trap music? He said, I can't explain to you because, you know, you a pastor. You ain't supposed to listen to nothing like that. You live in a bubble. Your ears are sanctified and you can't hear. I said, I've been working in the prison 27 years. I done heard craziness all my life. That's why I know. I love Daquan. He protects me from trap music. Listen, there's financial counselors. Some of y'all got guidance counselors. Getting y'all ready. Getting y'all ready for the college. Getting y'all ready to go to TCTC. Getting y'all in the armed forces and all those little programs. Those good counselors. Some of y'all got enough money where you need a financial counselor. I don't. I can go online and get some money management. Some of y'all have mental health counselors help you. Some of you have counselors when you go to get surgery. I talked to Rita when she had a knee surgery. They told her what was going to happen. They told her how she was going to feel. They told her how long this process was going to take. Same with Vernon when he had the shoulder surgery. Same with anyone who goes into the dialysis or having heart surgery. Usually before they do it, they're going to tell you what's involved in it.
Amen.
We have a wonderful counselor. And he teaches. Listen what Paul says. Paul says this in Colossians 2. He's talking about this great counselor. He's talking about this great counselor that we need. Verse 3 in Colossians 2, verse 3 says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's in the book. Paul said, you need to understand the book. He said, if you don't, listen, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. See, if the preacher don't know the book, he don't tell you what he can only talk about what he know. And a lot of us like that because the book can get rude. The book can be in our business. Somebody said that the other day, convict us. And we don't like being convicted. We just like to, you know, just send on down the road, send on down the highway to hell. And we don't want to be convicted. He says this. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Now watch this. You can't have faith in Christ if you don't know him. You can't have faith in Christ if you haven't been taught him. Paul knew that. Paul knew that. He says in verse number 6. He says, as ye therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. You know what the question would be? How am I going to do that? Being rooted and built up in him. How do you get rooted and built up in anything? You apply yourself to it. You study it. You have a passion for it. There's my word. Oh, you got so much passion. Listen, you got to have passion for it. You can't be good at anything without passion. You're not passionate about it, you're not going to be good at it. Find something you love to do and you'll be good at it. Paul says you need to be good at building yourself up and establishing the faith as ye have been taught. That's what we ought to be doing on Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, Friday nights, trying to teach. That's what we do. The reason we have breakfast on first Sunday, not to just to feed you. The whole idea is to try to use an opportunity to come together, have breakfast, and come to Sunday school. Amen. We use the breakfast to promote the Sunday school. So they say, how long shall I leave it out? Take it down at 9:30. What time Sunday school start? If they ain't here by 9:30, then we ought not be sitting here feeding them at 10:30. We just not having breakfast just to be having breakfast. We baiting you. We trying to get you here at 9:30 to get some word in you. Because we know it's important enough for us to fry y'all some turkey bacon and some sausage. He's a wonderful counselor. He's a mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. Those been here for Wednesday night, just John 3:16 just flows through the Word of God. He's an everlasting Father. But not only that, he's this for those that have no peace. See, there's a whole lot of saved folks, and there's nothing worse than a saved individual with no peace, because the two don't even go together. That's a contrast of lifestyles. To say you a child of God and have no peace. You can't praise God without peace. You can't worship God without peace. You need peace. And here he is. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the giver of all blessings, the giver of all peace. You're not going to have peace. Listen, let me tell you something. Y'all can wait till November. Y'all can go to Cleveland or Philadelphia, whatever convention you want to go to. You won't find peace there. Okay? You ain't going to find peace in Philadelphia or in Cleveland. They spending millions of dollars on riot gear and everything else. And y'all think one of these two going to give you peace? Listen, we know where peace comes from. Amen. You don't know, ask me. Because I have peace. I have a peace that passes all understanding. Listen, you get to know me. And now you'll get to know my God that has given me peace, because I always didn't have it. Amen. Listen, do you have it? Now think about it. We start talking about his name. He's given a name. A great name. I like this. Y'all know where I'm going. Most of y'all probably know. I'm going to Philippians chapter 2. He's talking about Jesus, who has been given a name, verse 9, who has been given a name above all names. Let me tell you what that means. There's a lot of names out there. Okay, you got Muhammad out there, and you got the God of the Mormons, you got the God of Jehovah's Witnesses, you got all that. You got the Holy Viker, you got the Pope, you got all these names. But let me tell you what the Word of God says about all those. He says this. He said, Jesus has been given a name above all names. Above all names. At which every knee shall bow. Everybody going to bow. Right. Everybody going to bow. You got some bowing to do, Muhammad. You got some bowing to do, Pope John Paul. You got some bowing to do, Joseph Smith. And some of y'all worship. LeBron got some bowing to do. And Michael Jordan got some bowing to do. And Shaq got some bowing to do. And Tiger Woods got some bowing to do. And Prince bowing now. We all got some bowing to do. Why? That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of things in heaven and things in earth and under the earth. Well, I don't want to do my bowing under the earth. All right? So I'm going to do my bowing now. And then when I take my crown off and I'm going to throw it at his feet, I'm going to do some bowing. But I'm not planning on doing no bowing under the earth. Oh, y'all don't get me. Y'all don't hear me. Listen, Matthew said this. Matthew says, listen. He said, go out and teach folks. Teach disciples. Teach disciples what? And baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Listen to folks, that's a bad name. Amen. That's a bad name. John 14:6 said, listen, no man can come to the Father except by me. What a name. What a name. Love about you. Are you bound? I take it or leave it. I ain't bound for nobody. I ain't bound for nobody. Well, you're going to bow. You're going to bow one day. You're going to bow one day. Let me tell you something. If you're an ambassador, how many ambassadors in here? We are ambassadors. The word of God said we are ambassadors. We are dignitaries. Diplomats. We represent God in a fallen world. It's not easy. Okay? But as ambassadors, we are required to have a radical reverence for God. It's required. See, and I know, that's required for you. That's for you. No, it's for everyone who names the name. If you have plans on going to heaven when you leave here, you better have a radical reverence for God on earth. You better be radical about it. I'm serious. Paul said, y'all know Paul. Paul said, listen, he said, for me, Ephesians 6:19. He said, and for me, Paul, that utterance may be given unto me. Why, Paul? Why did Paul want utterance? He wanted it. He wanted to proclaim what God had done for him. And you ought to too. If you were in here and you've been saved and delivered, and you're sanctified, and you're full of the Holy Ghost, you don't even have, listen, you radical. You don't even have a choice. Folks don't want to be around you that's unsaved. Listen, I don't want to be around them. That's a cleansing fire. Clean up your life. You want to clean up your life? You got some folks in your life you want to get rid of? Start talking about Jesus.
All right.
That'll run them away.
All right.
That'll run them away. It's like bad cologne. Just spray it all on you. There's Jesus all over. Now, when they come call you up, what you doing? Reading the Bible. Reading about how Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. And, you gone. I'll holler. Nobody want to hear. Because you're radical. If you read your Bible, you're radical. See, some folks think you're radical because you got long hair and you got tattoos, you smoke cigarettes. I'm radical. No, you ain't radical. You normal. Everybody doing that. They got women riding motorcycles now. Everybody riding motorcycles and smoking cigarettes and got long hair tattoo. There ain't nothing radical about that. You know what radical is? Oh, how I love Jesus. That's radical. That's radical. Somebody's like, man, leave him alone. He gone. Paul said this. Paul said, for me, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me. Why, Paul? That I may open my mouth boldly. Boldly. That's what we need. See, Paul was radical. He was radical. He didn't open his mouth up. Someone open their mouth up. You know, I want to introduce you to Jesus. You know? No. Paul talked about Jesus because Jesus was bad. Jesus was radical. I want to talk about somebody who died for your sins. Who walked ahead of the crowd. And Paul, in the word of God, said in Hebrews, and for the joy that was set before him, he endured the shame. Woo! That's right. I love them babies. They know how to do it. See. Who is that? Justin? Joshua? He told me he was going to do me that guy yesterday. Listen. Paul said, I want to open my mouth boldly. Why, Paul? To make known. Come on now. To make known the mystery of the gospel. He wanted to make known the mystery of the gospel. What is the mystery of the gospel, y'all Wednesday nighters? Y'all know it. The mystery of the gospel is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now watch this. Now think about this. Now I was reading this. Now think about ambassadors. Now y'all hear all this stuff. And I'm not being political about talking about Benghazi and all that. But ambassadors, when an ambassador went to another country, they was considered sacred. You don't touch no ambassador. The whole city could be on fire. Let the ambassador go because they was ambassadors. And so when Christopher Stevens got killed in Benghazi in 2012, the big deal wasn't so much what didn't happen. The big deal was that was an ambassador from the United States of America, supposed to be protected. Paul says this. See, we don't have that kind of protection. Okay, as ambassadors of Christ, you don't know where you might end up. Paul says this. He said, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. He knew what he was saying. That's crazy talk for an ambassador to be in bonds, because an ambassador had free range to go wherever he wanted to go and to proclaim the message he was sent there to do. But Paul said, I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I might speak boldly as I ought. Listen, folks, you might be in bonds. Some folks say, well, if I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I'm going to be in bonds. You probably will be if you love this world. See, if you love this world, but if you understand God, if you have a radical praise for God, and if you can say, hallowed be thy name, let me tell you something. You're going to have a radical praise. You know why? David had a radical praise. Watch this. David, in Psalms 111, I thought this was just awesome stuff. And I'm reading this thing, and it's just popping in my head. And, you know, and Daquan said, what you laughing at? Because he's sitting in front of me, and I'm like, woo, just this too much. I'm sitting here, and God opened up these scriptures. I look at the psalmist in Psalm 11 talking about praise ye the Lord. Psalm 111. Praise ye the Lord. Here's David. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. And then I ain't got time for nothing else. Now, I don't have nothing second best and third best in my life. I'm going to praise God with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Let me tell you something now. Y'all know I say that assembly of the upright, that's what church is supposed to be. If you ain't here today and you are a member of this church, you are in the assembly of the upright. You have a required behavior expected of you. As a child of God, there is a required behavior expected of you. Why? Because you are a part of the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. This ought to just, you know, this ought to just resonate with you. You ought to be reading this thing. That's how I feel. Pastor, that's one of my favorite verses. I've read that hundreds of times. He says this, the works of the Lord are great. David knew. If anybody knew, David knew. David said, the works of the Lord are great. Sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. Watch this. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. Keep going, David. For he hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Now, saved folks know that. It was just by the grace of God. We can sit here and say, for by grace are we saved through faith, and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. We know him. If he's saved, we know him. We know he is a gracious and full of compassion. See, if it was us, we would have never reached out to Paul. We'd have been just like Ananias. Ananias, when Jesus came to Ananias, said, listen, he wanted mine. Ananias, that man's a fool. That man is crazy. He killing Christians. He hate Jesus. He killing Christians. And Jesus had to tell Ananias, stop. He wanted mine. Just do what I'm telling you to do. We would have wrote Paul off. We would have never had 2/3 of the New Testament written if it was up to us. Paul says this, verse 5. He said, he have given meat unto them that reverence him or fear him, and he will ever be mindful of his covenant. What's his covenant say? John 3:16. Oh, come on now. John 3:16. You're not going to hell. You can't. If you really accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you believeth in him, and you living for him, you in good hands. You in great hands. Let me skip down to verse 9, because this is the key verse of the whole text. We know this if we've been redeemed. How many have been redeemed? Redeemed. We say we've been redeemed. We've been cashed in. God found some value in us that nobody else did. And he redeemed us. How did he redeem us? He sent redemption unto his people. John 3:16. He have commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. Now, Pastor, what would happen if you got a glimpse of the glory of God? If you got a glimpse, if you got a vision of the holiness of God, it would change your life. Some of us in here, we have been changed. And you can look at the pastor, that dude is just over the top. He just too passionate, too compassionate. Because you haven't been dealt with. God haven't spoke to you. Now, I don't mean audibly. He haven't spoke to your heart. And so you can sit back and you got this little laissez-faire relationship with God. You know, you just, you know, I can take it or leave it. I'm going to go to church. Oh, Lord. It's Sunday. Oh, Lord. Let me get dressed. Let me get a shower. And you never thank God for the water being hot. And you never read the news where the whole family in Texas, the flood water just came up and just drowned and killed them all. That don't even bother you. You out of touch. You got this relationship with God, which really ain't no relationship. You know, when you think about it, you know, you meet somebody. Say you meet somebody and you like them. And then you want to get to know them and I wonder how this person would love me. Let me tell you something, saved folks. How they would love you is how they love Jesus. Their love for the Lord is going to be the same love they would have for you. And let me tell you something. And we got a whole lot of spiritual adulterers, spiritual fornicators in God's house. And we got a whole lot of girlfriends and boyfriends, a whole lot of things we'd rather be doing right now than being in God's house. The thought of coming out on a Friday night is just ridiculous. That's not even an afterthought. Sunday is enough. What would happen? I believe Isaiah had that kind of relationship with God. Is it the word of God speaks to it? Now Isaiah, in Isaiah 6, Isaiah saw the Lord in a vision. Let me read this to you because it stands on its own. Isaiah 6. He said, in the year King Uzziah died, he said, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. Sitting upon a throne. Amen. He had a vision. High and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. His holiness and his righteousness filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With two or twain he covered his face. Why? Because his holiness was so great that the angels, that the seraphims couldn't even look at it. And he said, and with twain they covered their feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, come on his name, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now, let me tell you something. The whole earth is full of the glory of God. Have you seen that part of the Lord? When you look at this world, when we look at the holiness of God and all these things, some of you are going to go home and you're going to go out to dinner. You're going to open the refrigerator. You're going to see some folks that you love. You're going to be with your family, whatever. You're going to see the glory of God. You're going to see the glory of God. When you look at your babies, when you look at these little babies, then you see the glory of God. You see the glory of God in a child. I know y'all know me. I like to see the glory of God in everything. I see the glory of God in everything. And I talk to folks. I say, when God opens your eyes, and you keep on sitting, and you keep on sitting under the word of God, you keep on hearing it, one day God's going to give you a vision of his holiness. And you're going to say, just like Isaiah. You're going to say, just like Isaiah. So you just keep on coming. And you just keep on coming. And you preachers and you ministers, you keep on preaching. And all you old folks in leadership, keep on living holy. Keep on living holy. And one day, your loved one, your child, your husband, your uncle, your cousin, your niece will see the glory of God.
Amen.
And when they see it, Isaiah saw it in verse 4. He said, and the posts and the doors moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. See, God's holiness will move you. Going to move you from a state of unholiness to holiness. That's only God can do.
Amen.
Only God can do. Amen. And then said, here's Isaiah when he's seen the holiness of God. And let me tell you something. This is, if you're saved, this you. You done seen the holiness of God. You done seen the holiness of God. And we had something that Isaiah didn't have. We had 66 books. 66 books filled with the holiness of God. And then said I, woe is me. Because see, God's going to go flashback all the craziness stuff you done. All the stuff you done. Everything you done said about God's people. All that you done said about God. And you're going to sit here and say, woe is me. I couldn't praise God. I couldn't worship God. I could care less about the things of God, the people of God, the church of God. I couldn't care less. And then one day when God's holiness is revealed to you, you will say, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. When we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, you better ask for the gifts of clean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. The preacher talking. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now, folks, listen. I need the gift of sound speech. Because, see, folks going to get on your nerves. Folks going to get on your nerves. And you will want to lash out at them. You ask God, give me strength. Give me the gift of sound speech. Where's that found at? Oh, it's in there. It's in there. And when you start looking at the fruits of the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of sound speech of holy lips is right there smack in the middle. You don't have an excuse. You tell me you saved, you tell me you know Jesus, and your mouth is out of whack. God, give me strength. Give me a new heart. Because the word of God says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. Your mouth ain't just speaking what it don't know. If it got an evil heart, you're going to have an evil mouth.
Amen.
Need a new heart. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? He's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new because he got a new nature. He got a new heart. God, give me a new heart. But look at the Galatians 5. You want to sit here? The gift of sound speech. I hear some stuff. Y'all may not think I hear, but I hear. And I listen. He says this, 5:20. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Here go the gift of sound speech. Gentleness. Gentleness or friendliness or courtesy in conversation. A sweetness of temper. God, give me a sweet temper. No, I don't want him to take the temper away. We need a temper. Some things we ought to get mad at. Now, y'all hold on to that thought. Some things you ought to get mad at. Okay? But some things y'all not. Right now, this is not an occasion for me to get mad. This is an occasion for me to put some sweetness on that.
Amen.
Give me a sweetness of temper, which I can use quite often. Look at the next one. Not only gentleness, but goodness. How many need some goodness? How many need the gift of goodness? See, y'all have read this many, many times and never really seen that in there. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering. But we kind of run by these two. We really do. How many have ever sat there and really examined this text and seen gentleness and goodness as fruits of the Spirit? Goodness. Goodness. As a child of God, when you come to the saving knowledge of Him, you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive the gift of gentleness and goodness. Goodness means being able to communicate in a peaceful way.
Amen.
Oh, come on now. Somebody needs some goodness.
Amen.
Proverbs 10:34 says, the lips of the righteous. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. But the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse. Oh, come on. Pastor, you just don't know. Yes, I do. Don't lose your temper. You ought to get mad. I get mad. I was listening to the radio the other day. They talk about George Burns. And he played in the movie, what was it? God something. Okay? Something he played. He played God. And they was mocking God. Well, you know, George Burns played God. And God gave him 100 years to live. I'm like, if God gave you 100 years to live, and you ain't saved, you got hell to pay. If God give you 20 years to live, you don't get saved, you still without excuse. Listen, you ought to get mad. David got mad. See, y'all think David had a temper. If you know David, David had a temper. Remember, David wanted to kill the man? He wanted to kill, what was it, Nabal? Because Nabal wouldn't send him out some food? And he been protecting him. David had a temper. And Nabal's wife come out there, I believe her name was Abigail maybe, and said, listen, he's a fool. Don't kill him. God will take care of him. And he had a heart attack and died. God took care of David. But look at here for a minute. I'm going to be done in a minute. Look at Psalms 139. This is because some of y'all really struggle. You ought to. If you're saved, you ought to get upset when folk mock God. You know, OMG, OMG, oh my God. You don't even know him. I hear people mocking God. We can mock God. The world can mock God. And I get salty. I do. Now I have to find me a scripture to justify my righteous anger. Found one. I found one. Now I can get mad with a pure conscience. See, I got all the answers. People don't know. You got all the answers. Psalms 139. Look at verse 17. Because see, David, to the child of God, to the man or woman who is truly saved, know the power of God, that with the power it took to save them. You, God is precious to you. See, and what I've seen among believers and Christians in the church, God just ain't precious. God just ain't precious. And for the man of God, for somebody like me, when I know what I was into and where I was heading, and then God turned me around, he become precious. And the word of God become precious. And when I'm studying, the word of God just become precious to me. And David was in trouble. Y'all know David. Listen, let me tell you something. When David had a relationship with that woman, an adulterous relationship with Bathsheba, and then killed her husband. David should have died. He should have been beheaded. He should have been stoned. And God gave David favor. He gave David a break. And David was forever. You read nothing else about him in an adulterous relationship after that. Nothing. Matter of fact, he named one of his children Nathan. He named one of his children Nathan. He was so thankful that God sent Nathan to preach the gospel to him and to confront him and to convict him. Now, some of y'all will be thinking, I'm going to name my next child Keith. Well, I was hoping Jackie had a boy. I know they were going to name Keith. Jacob Keith Jericho. Listen, here's David. Because David, God was precious to David. Now, I'm giving y'all some leeway here. You want to get mad. I want to give you some things, the right things to get mad about. Okay? Randy, you listen to me. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with them. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked. What is it, David? Don't you worry about him. You my man, David. I'm going to take care of anybody that mess with you. Because vengeance is mine, say the Lord. So if I'm right with God, if I'm in a right relationship with God, and I'm doing what's right, and I'm being persecuted, which I ought to be, that's confirmation. You know what I mean? You know, see, we don't want no persecution. See, when somebody tells you you don't need no persecution and no trials and no tribulation, that's satanic. That's satanic gospel. You know why? Because the word of God says many are the afflictions of the righteous. So when one of these prosperity, word of faith, faith healing, say, the reason why you sick, or the reason why you going through, or the reason why you struggling is because, it may just be because you are righteous. It may be confirmation, because that's what it is to me when I go through. Thank you, Lord. Listen. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked. That means I can keep my hands in my pocket. Oh God, depart from me, therefore, ye bloody man. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thy enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I like that. I count them my enemies. And you know, after he prayed that, after he spoke those words, then what he says. Search me, O Lord. Search me, O God. And know my heart. Try me. And know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know what he's saying? Yes. Lead me in the way of the Lord. Amen. Everlasting. Come on now. Come on now. Somebody need to pray that. Somebody need to take your word and apply it to your life. See, we just read it, and it's on the outside of us, and we need to take it, and we need to internalize it. And then when these situations come up, and they will, what's in you will come out. It's like eating onions. I had a Greek friend, and I worked at General Moore, had a Greek friend every day. Greek fried chicken. He worked at Uncle Nick's chicken. Greek fried chicken. What you got today? Greek fried chicken. You know, and the Greek folks was like, you know, you can't say no because that's like dishonoring me. So you got to eat. Let's try it. And I go to the bathroom. And everything, when I sweat, everything smells like garlic. Garlic and onions and that's how it ought to be with us. When we sweat, when the world presses us and we sweat, we ought to smell like Christ. Christ ought to come through our pores, and Christ ought to come out of our mouth, and Christ ought to... I hope y'all get me. I hope you feel me. Get this word in you. Get this word in you, because trouble coming. Amen. Trouble coming your way. Listen, as I close, our job is to teach. Teach the word of God. Teach that we ought to have a great language. That we ought to have a great reverence for God. And one of the ways that the world can really, really find out if you truly a child of God is your words. Your speech. That's why a lot of times folks get saved. The first thing that happens to them, God cleans up their mouths. Amen. Because see, you open your mouth, you can let it all out. And we know, God, clean me up. Give me that gift of sound speech. Paul knew that when he was the pastoral epistles. He's teaching the pastors like myself and Minister Brian and Minister Madison and all those that would teach. We have responsibility. We got responsibility. Cindy's going to meet with all women. And the women in the church got a responsibility to work with these young women. Teach them. That's what Paul said. Now Paul says this, but it applies to the women too. Titus 2 and 6. He said, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Serious-minded. Serious-minded. Young men ought to be serious-minded. Because let me tell you something. They lock you up. They're not going to allow you to run these streets and act a fool. And if you can tell me you can come to God's house on a regular basis and leave here and act like a fool on the streets, something wrong. Something wrong. Teach the men likewise to be sober-minded. Why? In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. That's our responsibility. All these men. We got a responsibility to live before these young people in a way that's responsible. A way they can sit there and model themselves after us. So they would grow up and treat their wives like we treat our wives. That they would grow up and be faithful in their employment like we are. All right, hear me? That's the truth. That's the truth. Because they watching. Y'all may not know, think they watching, but they watching. They watching. Listen. Here's what he says. Sound speech. Teach them sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he, the youngster, that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Come on. That's some beautiful stuff. As men of God, we are not have folks saying evil stuff about us. Now, not that they won't, but it can't be true. It can't be true. It can't be true. Listen, I'm going to let y'all go. Couple more verses, please hang in there. Ephesians 4:29. I like this. Talking about our mouths. Talking about really our hearts. Ephesians 4:29. Here's Paul. He says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. That corrupting talk, that's a wide word. That ain't just cussing. Okay? That's gossiping. That's just roasting folks and just name calling. All that. No corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those that hear. Now, that's what we ought to be doing. Let me close with a story. It's a biblical story. There was 10 virgins. Y'all know the story. 5 of them had oil. And they had extra oil. Just in case the oil ran out, they had extra oil and extra wicks. Then the other 5 wasn't paying attention. They could care less. They really didn't think the Lord was coming back anytime soon. And many of us fall in that same category. But the Word of God says that the bridegroom came and 5 had oil. And they were allowed into the wedding party. And Matthew 25:11 says, and afterward came also the other virgin saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. See, what had happened? They weren't paying attention. They weren't serious about the things of God. And when judgment came, they was asking for mercy. Folks, listen, you can't ask for mercy in the day of judgment. It's our time right now to ask for mercy. Lord, I know I need mercy. Amen. What is mercy? God not giving us what we deserve. Listen, I need mercy. But you need to ask for mercy now. You can't wait until the door closed. and start knocking on it, asking for mercy, because there's a whole lot of folks that's going to be in that line saying, Lord, Lord, remember me. Didn't I do this and didn't I do that? And he's going to say, I never knew you. Because even though you did a lot of wonderful things in church, your heart was not right with God. Is your heart right with God today? Is his name reverent to you? Do you have a, would you describe your worship? Radical. Or just ho-hum, ho-hum. You got a ho-hum worship for God, a ho-hum praise for God. And you may sound good to us. You may sound good horizontally. But do you sound good? Parallel. When God hears you sing, do you sound good? Let me say that again. When God hears you sing, you sound good today, Margaret. When God hears you sing, does he clap? Does he say amen? Precious Lord, we